Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name is Milt Jones. I'm the senior leader here, and I want to thank you for joining us this evening. Just lift your hands with me right now and say, "This is the day which the Lord has made. I will rejoice, and I will be exceedingly glad in it." Come on, say it with me one more time. Say, "This is the day which the Lord has made. I will rejoice, and I will be exceedingly glad in it." I'm so glad you took the time out to join us tonight. I guarantee that you're about to hear a word that's in due season that will ultimately change your life forever. If you make a decision from the very beginning that you're going to have ears to hear, you're going to have eyes to see, and you're going to open up your heart to be able to receive the engrafted word of God, which I know will change your life forever. So we're going to jump right into it right now, and we're going to make our declaration in accordance to Isaiah 61 and 1, which says it this way. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn." He says to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Father God in heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, to you alone, we give all the glory, the honor, and praise that is due your name. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy, majestic is your name. Father, we pray right now that your kingdom come, that your will be done in the earth just like it is in heaven. Father, I pray that tonight as I prepare to share this word that you have given unto me, Father God, that our preaching and teaching will not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it will be a demonstration of spirit and power and signs and wonders, Father God, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Father God, I decrease that you may increase. Father, let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word upon the tablets of their heart. Father, I covenant with you for miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the Holy Spirit as you see fit tonight. And to you alone, we give all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen, and glory to God. Again, my name is Milt Jones. I'm the senior leader here at Ignite Depot, a.k.a. We Are ID3, and we want to thank you for joining us tonight in the name of Jesus. So, man, we're going to go ahead and pick back up where we left off at last week. Last week we were talking about, and we've been in a series over the last few months talking about, Lord, teach me how to pray. And we find that in accordance to Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, where the disciples went to Jesus right after Jesus was finishing praying. And they said, "Jesus, will you teach us a model prayer? Would you teach us a model prayer?" And we found out over the last few weeks that a model prayer simply means an example, our form, our standard of prayer. He is not saying to pray the same prayer over and over and over again, but he said, "Jesus, give us a model. Give us an example on how to pray." And then we found out that, you know, over the last few weeks that, you know, prayer always works. You know, one of the reasons why so many people don't pray right now is because they don't get any results. So they figure prayer doesn't work. But the Father says prayer always works when you understand how to pray. And we found out that the first thing you got to realize is that prayer is not some religious exercise, but it is a actual petition or request made to God. So prayer is not a religious exercise, but it's actually a legal request or petition made to Almighty God. Now, I was spending time with the Father, and he says, when most people's prayer, he says, the most people's prayer sounds a little like this: "My name is Jimmy, so gimme, gimme, gimme." And that's not how we're supposed to come into God's presence and pray. And we found that out over the last few weeks, that there is a model or standard by which we are to come into God's presence. And Jesus said it this way. He says, in accordance to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9, he says this way. He says, "Pray then in this way." I pray in this matter. He says, our Father, acknowledge, who are you talking to? Our Father, where is he located? In heaven. What do we also do? We're going to hallow his name, or we're going to worship his name, or we're going to give glory to his name. And then we're not going to pray, my name is Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 says that we are to come in and says, Father, your kingdom come, that your will be done in earth just like it is in heaven. He says, when you come to prayer, you're saying, Father, I'm not even coming to pray for my benefit. I'm not even coming to give you my laundry list of things. My name is Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. I'm coming to you, Father, and my whole motive for coming to you in prayer is to come in agreement that your kingdom, which is God's influence, God's governing influence over a territory or domain, impacting it with his will, his plans, his purposes, and his intent. So when I'm coming into prayer, I'm saying to God, Father, my reason for coming to you in prayer is so that your kingdom, your governing influence will come, so that your will, your plans, your intents, and your purposes will be done in the earth just like they are in heaven. So when I'm coming to prayer, I'm not coming to prayer with my laundry list, because he says, as we've already found out, when you come to pray and you pray according to God's will, and you pray according to his plan, he will take care of all of your things in the process. Now, we found out last week that when we come to pray, we can come and say to God, Father, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And when we come to the Father, say, Father, give us this day our daily bread. We have a legal right as children, our citizens of in the kingdom of God, to be able to petition the high courts of heaven and say, Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread. And we found out last week how when we're talking about give us, that means supply each day for us, our supply, our daily need or our necessity for life for that day. So when you're coming to God and you're saying, Father, give us this day our daily bread, what you're saying is, Father, give us our necessity, our supply for this day. You're not talking about next week. You're not talking about 3 months from now. You're talking about, Father, give us our daily supply for this day. And we began to talk about last week how when you come to God in prayer, how some of the ways that God gets those things to us. But he also talked to us about how we are to be able to come to God. And we have to understand that when you're coming to God in prayer and when you're dealing with God, you're operating inside of a kingdom system. The kingdom of God is a system, our God's way of doing things. And there's two systems in the earth. Now you got to make a decision. God says, Jesus actually says this as he's talking, continuing in Matthew chapter 6. And he's talking here in verse 24. He was telling the people, he says, hey, you cannot serve God and money. He says, he says it this way in Matthew chapter 6, 24. He says it this way. He says, no one can serve two masters. Now pause and think about that. No one can serve two masters. He says, for either you will hate the one and love the other. He says, or else you will be loyal to the one and you would despise or lightly esteem the other. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. So he did not say you can't say serve God and the devil. He says you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon, there is a spirit. It's a spirit of mammon. And what mammon says is this. Mammon says this. I can get you everything that you want apart from God. He says, I can get you everything that you want, everything you desire, everything that you need, and you don't even have to do it God's way. He says, but Jesus says, you can't serve both. And too many times what ends up happening is people, when you begin to go down these lines, people, you know, man, I don't want to hear all that. I'm going to do me. And God says, hey, my responsibility is to sound the alarm, because there's going to come a time, and that time is coming very soon, then you're going to have to make a choice whether you're going to do it God's way or you're going to continue to operate according to the world's way. Because ladies and gentlemen, I'm not even trying to prophesy bad news, but Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 that this world system is destined to fail. The world system is destined to fail. So he says, the responsibilities for every apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher is to begin to sound the alarm to let God's people know, what do you do? How do you get off of the world's system and get on to God's ways of doing things? And that's exactly what we're going to talk about tonight in the name of Jesus. Now, the first thing Jesus said is you can't serve both systems. You can't serve the kingdom of God and mammon at the same time. Now, what do you mean you can't serve the kingdom of God and mammon at the same time? Well, the first thing you got to realize is Jesus said to his disciples as he's talking to them, he says, why are you so worried? Why are you so worried? He says, 6:31, he says this, therefore, do not worry, saying. How do you know that somebody's worrying? Based off of what it is that they're saying. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? He says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, or those who aren't even in covenant with God seek, he says, for your heavenly Father knows all the things that you have need of, all these things. It says that Almighty God already knows that you have need of all these things. He says, so why are you worrying about what you're going to eat, or what you're going to drink, or what you're going to wear, or where you're going to live, or where you're going to work? He says, why are you worried about all these things? He says, because your heavenly Father already knows that you have need of these things. In fact, he says, told me to tell you this. He says, don't be anxious. He says, don't be anxious. In fact, he said it this way, and the word of God says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, and it says it this way. He says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. He says, be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled a request before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him everything. Detail of your life. So when you're coming to God, you're not trying to hide anything from God. You're going to come to God because you got to remember, you're coming to your Father who's in heaven. He already knows that you have need of these things. But when you're coming to him, you're making your petition or your request known to him. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. And you find out because you already know you're coming to God praying according to his will, his plans, his purpose, which you find in the word of God. A lot of times when people come with a prayer request, my name is Jimmy, gimme, 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 because they have, because they're in fear or they're afraid and they're not sure if God will do what it is that they're requiring of him. And sometimes when people come to prayer and requesting everything, they're coming saying, God, I just don't feel safe. I don't feel comfortable, because they have found safety and security based off of what it is that they have in the bank account. Or they find safety and security based off of the type of job that they have. Did you know that every time that you go to your job or go to work, you're working by faith? You're working by faith. You say, how am I working by faith? Simply this. You come into an agreement with an employer, and your employer says, hey, if you work these 40 hours per week, I'm going to pay you at this rate of money. And once you work these 2 weeks, at the end of these 2 weeks, I'm going to have a paycheck for you. Do you know that you haven't seen a paycheck? You haven't seen any of that money? You haven't seen anything, but simply because they said it and you got into an agreement with them, you're believing that at the end of those 2 weeks, your paycheck is going to be there. Your money's going to be there. But what happens if you get to the end of those 2 weeks and you found out the company's going bankrupt? Or you find out that what it is that they promise you, they're not able to do. What are you going to do then? But see, this is the great thing about trusting God's kingdom, God, the kingdom of God system. His system always works. And he can't lie. If he said it, he will do it. If he spoke it, he will make it good. But see, one thing you got to make sure you got to check. You got to check your relationships. What? You got to check your relationship. Your relationship with what? You got to check your relationship with money. God said it this way, and the word of God says it in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. He said, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. He says, loving money, not money itself, but loving money is a root of all evils. Pause and think about that. How can you say that? Because didn't Jesus just say you can't serve God and money? Because people will do things to get money that they won't do the same things in order to serve God. People will get up early, stay at work late, go through working out without any breaks. They will get up, get their hair ready. They will get their clothes ready, all that prepared to go to work early, but they won't do the same thing when it comes time for them to come and pray. Or they won't do the same thing when it's time to come and sit under the word of God that's going to give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding how to be productive in the jobs that God has blessed them with. You can't serve God and money. So you got to check your relationship with the money. Do you have money or does money have you? God said, the word of God is saying here, and he says, loving money, he didn't say money itself. He says, loving money is a root of all evil. He says, some people run after it so much. Listen to this, that some people run out the money so much that they have given up their faith. Did y'all just hear that? They run out the money so much that they've given up their faith doing what? Chasing after that money. I hear people say it, I got to get that bag. I got to get my bag. I got to get that bag. Hey, there's nothing wrong with getting a bag if you don't let the bag get you and that you replace God with that bag. He says craving more money pushes them away from the faith into error, compounding misery in their lives. He says, based off of your relationship with money, he says, you're either going to use money to be a blessing to others, or you're going to let that money use you to draw you away from the things of God. Remember, the spirit of mammon says this. He says, I can get you everything that you need apart from God. I'll get you this money. I'll get you this bag. I'll get you this house. I'll get you this promotion. Just don't do it God's way. And the more you follow after the spirit of mammon, the more you will drift away from the things of God. You know, I looked up that word about the love of money. You know what the word is? Avarice. Avarice. And that word avarice means an inordinate desire of gaining and possessing wealth, covetousness, greediness, or insatiable desire for gain. See, this is not just, you know, you like to have some money. This is, man, I'll do whatever I got to do to get the bag. I'll do whatever I got to do to get this taken care of, even if it means turning away from God and pursuing this money. I'm going to pursue that money. That's when God says you have a wrong relationship with the money. So you got to understand the kingdom of God has to be top priority. The kingdom of God has to be top priority. See, Jesus says, take no thought, or don't be worried, or don't be anxious, or because your heavenly Father already knows what you have needed, that you have need of all these things. But what does Jesus say? What do you need to do when you're looking to see how all these things are going to happen? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things, what things? What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, where you're going to work, all those things will be added to you. But the first thing you have to seek is the kingdom of God. See, there's no confusion when it comes to the things of God. There's no confusion whatsoever, because everything in God's kingdom operates according to principles. Principles are general truth, or it's a law comprehending many subordinate truth. When you talk about the principles of God, you're talking about the laws, or the concepts, or the things that are used to govern inside of the kingdom. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. You don't have to chase money. When you chase God, I'm gonna give it to you this way. When you chase God, the money will begin to chase you. When you begin to chase God, the money will chase you. Now, you know, it's interesting. Jesus actually had a young man come to him one time, a long time ago. We know him as the rich young ruler. And we find out in Mark chapter 10 that this rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he said, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the commandments. He says, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. And this rich young ruler's like, man, I've done all those things. He says, I got that covered. Then Jesus, this is what Jesus did. Jesus said, Jesus said, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. After this young rich young ruler came to him and says, hey, you know, I've done all those things. Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. It says it here in Mark chapter 10, verse 21. It says, then Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. He says, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. He says, come, take up your cross and follow after me. Jesus says, go and sell whatever it is that you have. Give that money to the poor. He says, and in doing so, you will actually have treasure in heaven. He says, and then come, take up your cross and follow after me. The man asked for eternal life. Jesus told him the one thing he lacked. Let's see what the man's response was. Verse 22 says it this way. He says, but he, the rich young ruler, when he heard this, he was sad at that word. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What happened? Jesus located him. He located him that even though he had great things, it was not even the fact that Jesus didn't say, well, you got too many things. That's why you can't have eternal life. Jesus says, hey, I'm going to show you the one thing that's in your heart that will prevent you from doing all the things that you said you want eternal life. This is what you have to do. Now, yours might not be money. Yours might be something else. What is that one thing? What is the one thing that's keeping you from saying, Jesus, I'm going to give it all up to you right now and follow after you? What's her name? What's his name? What is it that you are putting in place of God? What is it that you're giving first place other than Jesus? What is it? What kind of relationship? What kind of career? What kind of drive are you using that's you give more place to than giving your life to Jesus Christ? What is it? Because he's sitting at the door of your heart and he's knocking and he's asking, can I come in? Can I come in? He says, I won't compete with it. He says, I won't take it from you. Notice Jesus didn't take it from him. The young man had to lay it down willingly. Just like he won't take it from you, you have to lay it down willingly. He says, one thing you lack, and the one thing he lacked was a proper relationship with money. How do you know? As Jesus goes on to say, where is your trust? Where is your trust? Jesus says this to his disciples, still in Mark chapter 10, verse 23, says it this way. Then Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, those who'd already made a decision to lay everything down and follow after him. He says, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And his disciples looked around and they were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered in verse 24 and said again, he says, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Did it say anything was wrong with the riches? Nope. Did he say anything was wrong with the money? Nope. Did he say anything was wrong with having wealth? Absolutely not. What did he say the issue was? And what was the issue with the rich young ruler? His relationship with that money went beyond just something that's used as a tool to something that he held tight to, something he clinged to, something he craved. He craved it so much, he was willing to sacrifice eternal life to hold on to his riches. What is it that you're holding on to right now that keeps you from entering into a relationship with God? What is it that you're holding on so tight that you're afraid that if I give this thing up, I'm never going to be happy? What is that one thing that you can't seem to let go of? That you hold so much trust in that you're willing to say, I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up an eternal life with Jesus to keep this one thing. Jesus said in verse 25, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into the rich man to enter to the kingdom of God. It's not, again, it has nothing to do with money. It all comes down to where is your trust? Remember, you can't serve God and you can't serve the spirit of mammon at the same time. It's not about the money. It's all about your relationship with the money. So when you're coming to the Lord and you're coming to God in prayer and you're saying, Father, give us this day our daily bread, you have a legal right to be able to petition God daily and say, Father, give me this day my daily supply, my daily necessity for this day. And you come to God in faith, believing you receive it, you shall receive it. But what if you find out that you have a wrong relationship with resources? What if you find out you have a wrong relationship with money? What if you find out that you have placed your drive for money higher than your drive for God? What do you do in those situations? Well, I'm going to give you four things to do when you realize that your relationship with money is off. First and foremost, man, you got to acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge it. It says it here in James chapter 5, verse 16. He says this way. He says, confess your transgressions one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It says the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. So first thing you're going to do, man, I'm going to acknowledge, man, I've had a wrong relationship with money. Father, I repent because I've had a wrong relationship with money. I put things of my own drive and my own will and my own desire and my own ways higher than your ways because I had a wrong relationship with it. And I put more trust in money than I put in you. And Father, I make a decision to repent. I confess it before you. I come in agreement and I agree that's what I've done, Father. And I ask you to forgive me. And Father, because I know you have forgiven me, I receive your offer of forgiveness. And I thank you for cleansing me of all unrighteousness. And guess what? God will treat you as if it never happened. He will treat you as if it never happened. Then what's the second thing you got to do? Man, you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision that you're going to honor God. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to honor God. How are you going to honor God? Well, in accordance to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, I'm reading under Passion Translation. It says this. It says, I'm going to glorify God with all of my wealth, honoring him with your first fruits or with your tithes and your offerings, with every increase that comes to you, no matter how big or no how small, I'm going to honor God with my first fruits. I'm going to honor him with my tithes and offering. Then every dominion of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. He says, when you honor God, when you glorify God with all of your wealth, honor him with your tithes and with your offerings and every increase of that comes to you, he says, then every dominion of your life will overflow with blessings. When you first honor God, remember, you're going to keep God first. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first God's way of doing things. What's the third thing you got to do? Man, you're going to be looking. You're going to be looking for ways to be a blessing to others. You're going to be looking for ways to be a blessing to others. I have it here in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Acts chapter 20, verse 35, which says it this way, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus that he said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. When you have a right relationship with money, you are a giver. You sow. You use your resources to be able to be a blessing to others. You first want to honor God. It's because when you sow your tithes and offers into the kingdom of God, first, when you get it, what you're saying to God is, Father, I have more trust. I have more dependency. My security, my faith, my hope, my reliance is in you. And then after that, you take what it is you have and you are a blessing. You find somebody else to be a blessing to. Man, I tell you, there is nothing like it. It is truly more blessed to give than it is to receive. And number four, the fourth thing you're going to do, you got to realize you're blessed to be a blessing. 2023 is a year of the blessing of the Lord. He says in Proverbs chapter 10, 22, he says it's the blessing of the Lord that makes you truly rich and he adds no sorrow with it. He says it here in according to Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 3, God says this. He says, I will bless those who bless you. I will cause the curse to come on those who curse you. And God says, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God is going to bless you in order for you to be a blessing. God is going to bless you in order for you to be a blessing. But the first thing you have to do is make a decision that when I'm coming to God in prayer, I'm not coming to God in prayer from this day forward saying, hey, my name is Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I'm coming to God in prayer and saying, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done in the earth, in my life, in every situation of my life, in earth, just like it is in heaven. So, Father, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily supply. And, Father, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make sure that I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto me. So, Father, I'm not going to have a wrong relationship with money. I'm not going to have a love of money that's going to be a root of all evil, that's going to draw me away from the faith, that's going to draw me away from doing the things I'm supposed to do and serving you in the kingdom of God. But I'm going to make a heart decision right now to acknowledge the fact that before, hey, I got off concerning it, but now I'm making a decision to get right back on it. And from this day forward, Father, I'm going to honor you with my tithes and my offering off the top. I'm going to honor you with it. And then, Father, I'm going to remember to be a blessing, how that is better to give than it is to receive. And Father, lastly, I'm going to remember that it is you who has blessed me. So in order for me to be a blessing, and I'm going to be a blessing, and the more I'm a blessing, Father God, the more you will bless me. It's really that simple. Why are we sharing with all this right now? Because the Father says that, and Jesus prophesied in Matthew chapter 24, that this world system is destined to fail. And God says, but I have a better system. You don't have to wait till that system fails. I have a better system. My system is called the kingdom of God. And in God's system, God's principal way, you find in Genesis 8:22. And he says it this way, and this is where we're going to end. He says in Genesis 8:22, he says that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. He said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, which is a chief principle in the kingdom of God, a seed will meet any need. And he says, and when you make a decision to honor God first with your resources and with your finances, he says that all these other, a great dominion of blessings will come upon you. So, but the first thing you want to do is you want to make sure that, hey, you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You never made him the supreme authority of your life. I want to give you an opportunity to be able to do that right now. It's so simple. It's so simple. Even a child can do it. And according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says it this way. It says, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He says, for with the mouth confession, he says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to give you an opportunity to be able to make Jesus the head of your life, the supreme authority of your life, where he gets the final say. Many people have made Jesus Savior, but very few people have made him Lord. He wants to be the Lord, which means he will help you to direct your path by the word of God. Pray this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Whether you said this prayer before, or you want to rededicate your life, or you want to make this day one of the new you. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in the grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you into right relationship with God, and welcome you into right position. What do you do now? Man, you got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which also teaches you about the love of God and about the kingdom of God. Now, we're here every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we share a practical word each and every time that helps you to understand who God is and what his desire is for your life. Now, sometimes people, hey, they hear the message, but they want to go back and hear it. Some people like to watch it online. Other people like to listen to it on podcast. Hey, we put up a QR code. You can scan that and take you to our podcast, which is Ignite to Life podcast. And when you scan that podcast, you not only hear this message, but you'll hear all the other messages which we've already shared concerning the practical points of prayer. And also, hey, you feel led, you want to be a blessing, you're really encouraged by what it is you're hearing tonight, but man, I just want to know, you know, I want to sow into your ministry so you can continue to reach people all over the world. Man, there's a QR code up right now, and you can scan that and you can sow your seed. Remember, part of it is honoring God, giving glory to God with your first fruits or with your tithes and your offerings, sowing it into the kingdom of God. And lastly, we published our first book earlier this month called Point of No Return, Discovering Your True Identity and Purpose. Man, it's a great book. We've had some great reviews from the book and everything. It's available on Amazon. Hey, just scan the QR code or go to Amazon, wherever you're at, and you'll be able to find the book and so much more. And we're telling people, you know, use it to be able to be a blessing. Read it yourself, but also be able to be a blessing to someone else. Now, on behalf of the entire Ignite Nation, and thank you for joining us tonight. And remember this: God loves you. We love you, but Jesus loves you more. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.